You're catching up with Beck and Soda right now. But imagine laying poolside in the Hospital Research Foundation Home Lottery's $3.5 million Henley Beach Grand Prize. Ticks@homelottery.com.au. SAFM's Beck and Soda for breakfast.
The podcast.
Good morning. Can Hello. I quickly tell you what my favourite part of today's show was? Have you still got the audio bleeps that we played at the end of the show of you saying good cop, bad cop, I think the expression is?
Yeah, good cop,
bad cop.
Soda
stole my questions. He pinched them off me because he likes to pick a clue because he likes to be the good cop and I'm the bad cop.
No, I like to give people the money. It's not about good cop and bad cop. Yeah, good cop and bad cop. That's what I said.
No, we established.
No, slide it down. Hang on.
Bad cock. Oh, yeah. Good cop, bad cock. What have I got on my mind? My Lord.
I don't know whether it would have been worse if you said good cock. Like, does it say something that you said it was bad? Have you got some, like, pent up, like, childhood shame or something?
No, I'm absolutely over the moon and wrapped with mine. It's a good one. Why would I be ashamed of it? It's been with me my entire life and served me wonderfully well. I've got three kids and, yeah.
I never understand why you have to, like, check that it's still there.
What do you mean?
Men are always readjusting, having a little tug, a little feel.
Well, I'm not sure.
Sorry,
about
not
that.
A little tug. That's in the privacy of your own home. But in public, you often see a man just readjusting. You don't see women fiddling with our flaps.
Yeah, but what? What?
We just don't touch. We don't touch down there like men do. You're always having a little clutch.
No, what I'm saying is sometimes you do need to readjust and reposition because it might be perhaps caught in the seam of the jeans or it might be stuck or you might end up with like the fly's eyes when it's split on either side and you've just got to reposition the package. There's nothing wrong with that.
The fly's eyes?
Yeah, you know when it sort of gets stuck on each side?
I thought that was a moose knuckle.
Oh, my God. No, that's a camel toe, mate. What is actually this descended into?
I just don't understand. The light, you like to quote Seinfeld. Yeah. As Elaine says, how do you walk around with that thing in your pants?
With a massive smile because I'm happy and proud of what God gave me. What is I don't know where we are going with this. I don't know what is happening. I trust that you'll enjoy the podcast. Yeah. Hope so, anyway.
Yeah.
It's still there. It's all right.
SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Good morning. Happy hump day, South Australia.
Oh, Wednesday it is. Hello there.
I always like to do a fit check with you when you hop in the lift, just seeing what you've selected for the day.
Fit check?
A fit check.
What's a fit check?
You don't know what a fit check is.
What? Like, am I healthy?
No. Fit is short for outfit. That's what all the kids are saying.
Oh, I thought you meant how am I going? My blood pressure's okay. I've dropped a couple of kgs. No. I'm feeling quite good.
Fit check. What's your OOTD?
I'm regular.
Your OOTD. Your outfit of the day.
I don't even understand what you're saying.
Okay. So I'm going to unpack. I just want to start with your New York Yankees cap.
Yes.
You've left the stickers on it, mate.
Yeah.
What? I always look at that and I want to rip the stickers off. What is that? You're trying to be hip?
No, I think when you buy those hats, they have those stickers on them and you just leave them on. I don't know. I hadn't thought about it.
No, I think I don't understand why you keep them on.
Some of the kids keep the stickers on.
Yeah.
You're not a kid, though.
That's okay.
But, well, I don't understand why you keep the stickers on.
That's all right. You don't have to worry. I just bought a hat while I was away. A New York Yankees hat.
While you were away in New York running a marathon. So when you wear that, you can go, I bought this in New York punched out 42 Ks. Mm-hmm. No biggie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so no, I'm wearing a New York cap.
And you're wearing a North Adelaide Roosters T-shirt.
I did. Well, I get dressed at 4:30 in the morning, so it's generally a lucky dip as to what I get. So I grabbed the hat.
There's Roosters.
I've got a couple of T-shirts there lined up. Just grabbed one of them. I didn't know what the T-shirt was until I got out into the light.
It's a good
into
fit.
The kitchen.
Did you play for North Adelaide? Did you play football for North Adelaide?
I've got a T-shirt on with a big rooster on it.
So you did play for North Adelaide? Just want people to remember that?
No, I don't want anyone
to
remember
York,
that. I'm working
play for North Adelaide. Anything else? Have you got a Fiery's pair of pants on? You got some high-vis pants? Have you got a Channel 7 sort of polo you could roll out?
I'm working on radio, so no one can see what I'm wearing.
No, you look good. You look good. You're sort of a walking billboard for your life. I like it. It speaks to me. It speaks to me, and I'm impressed.
Righto.
Should we get the show started?
May as well. I'm not sure where you're going with any of this.
All right.
Just a nice bright red T-shirt with a big cock on the front. What's wrong with that?
This is SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Hey, we had a wonderful moment yesterday on the show. And if you weren't listening, what happened? Beck, your dog Wolfie, the big Samoyed, the rescue dog, he took off and actually ran down the beach. And we had a magnificent guy called Henry. We're calling him Henry, our hero. We chased him for a couple of days trying to find out more about who he was until we could identify him. He rescued your dog and saved him from drowning.
So the poor old postie accidentally left the gate open. Wolfie runs down to the beach.
Yes.
Henry's delivering fruit and veg nearby, sees, goes down and sees, he was telling us, Wolfie struggling to stay afloat in the outlet.
Yeah, this is Henry.
After a while, he's struggling to keep his head above water. I'm a father myself of a dog as well, and the instincts kicked in and just off came the pants. You know what?
There he is, the pantsless man, Henry. We tracked him down. Thank you, Adelaide, for your help. And he used his pants as a lead and was able to bring Wolfie back to safety. I've got to say, he's gone above and beyond because that is a big dog. And Henry essentially left his deliveries and just disappeared to go and find him, I thought was fantastic.
It took him about half an hour to track him down and get him home. So I am so grateful. And I didn't realise how close we came to losing him. So I went home from work yesterday because Wolfie and I have not got off to a great start. It's fair to say Wolfie doesn't love me very much. He has lifted his leg on my side of the bed. He's ripped a couple of wooden doors off.
Yep.
He's tried to bite me a couple of times. He loves the rest of the family, but we have a problem. But I thought I'm going to put this behind us because I'm going to go home and I'm going to give this big fluffy thing a big hug because I'm so grateful to have him in my life and have him still with us. So I get home, give him a big hug, and then I walk upstairs and I walk into our bedroom. And how he has repaid his second chance at life.
Yeah.
A massive turd on my nana's old rug that she handed down to me before she died.
Hey, some animals show their stress and their relief in different ways. Hang on. So it wasn't just on any sort of rug. It was Nana's special rug.
He's walked upstairs. There's polished concrete downstairs. Anywhere he'd pooed downstairs, we could have scooped it up.
Right.
He's gone upstairs, back into our bedroom again, the last time he wheezed.
He can smell where you sleep, and he knows that because he's already urinated on your side of the bed.
He hasn't done it on the carpet.
No.
He's gone to this shag pile rug. So,
it is
important to me. It's my nana's old shag pile rug that she gave to me and she's no longer with us.
Oh.
And he shat on it.
Oh, no.
Wolfie.
How's Wolfie going, eh?
Wolfie.
What a beautiful dog.
Henry the hero. Do you want another dog?
You're listening to SAFM's Beck and Soda.
I've just been checking around the news of what's happening here in South Australia and you just mentioned this moments ago.
On-site toilets are the focus of a new crackdown on the state's construction sites. Safework SA inspectors have kicked off a campaign in conjunction with industry groups and unions to ensure sites have clean and reasonably located loos. There are claims some workers are having to travel up to 20 minutes just to relieve themselves. I got uncomfortable at the end there, didn't I?
Wow. Hang on. So you're a tradie. You got to go 20 minutes to take a leak.
Yeah, well, it would be worse if it was a number two.
What is going on?
20 minutes is a long time to clench your...
Wow. That is that needs to be looked at very quickly.
That's not acceptable. I do often drive past building sites and see the portaloo there, and I wonder whether people ever themselves in their cars get caught short and might be tempted to like sneak into a portaloo on a building site.
Well, if you're in that situation and it was absolutely make or break and you had to go and you drove past one, would you go and use a portaloo on a construction site?
No.
What would you do?
I would try and find a public toilet.
What about if you couldn't? If you had to use, right, you're in this dilemma. I have to use the tradies toilet and it might be a little seedy, or you're going to soil yourself. A or B?
Well, I'm clearly not going to soil myself, am I? When you put it like that, I'm not going to poo my pants in my car. But I wouldn't let myself get in that situation. I would time my movements.
Well, you certainly went down to path B then. I was actually happy to talk about number ones, but you wanted to go straight into that
soil
area.
Soil to me says... poo. Well, right. I feel like we talk about this a lot on this show. What about you? Would you ever do that if you were...
Well, I would use the toilet if I had to, but I don't need to because I have an emergency bottle in my car.
You have a what?
An emergency bottle. I always have an empty drink bottle. Make a Gatorade one, so it's got the bigger hole in the top, obviously.
Oh, okay. Naturally, extra large.
Always have a. I always
don't you
carry...
have a Farmers Union iced coffee carton that you've opened the lid off so you can get it in there?
It's a Farmers Union, or it's nothing. See the beauty of that. No, I always have the.
Hang
the spare
on. When
bottle.
You say emergency, how often would you use the bottle to wee in?
Oh well, probably sometimes. You know, at least every couple of days.
Well, if you, that's around not an emergency. Town, that's just laziness.
No,
that's just...
sometimes it's very hard. If you're not home or you're not in a work scenario, it's sometimes very hard to find a public toilet.
Every couple of days, you're peeing in a bottle in your car.
Well, sometimes I need
you
to.
You grub.
What do you mean?
That's gross.
No, a grub would be doing it on the street and doing something illegal. I can do whatever I like in the privacy of my own car.
How long you spent? Are you a delivery driver? How long in your car for?
No, but I'm just saying sometimes you mightn't be around a public toilet and if you really need to go. I like to ensure that I'm drinking lots of water, so I might be knocking through a couple of litres of water a day.
This is really unfair because girls are not able to control their stream in order to do this. So we have no option to have an emergency pee bottle in our car.
Why don't you just practice a little better?
SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Gosh, we've had some big names in Adelaide lately. Ed Sheeran was here a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, Rod Stewart and Cyndi Lauper.
There's a nice little pic of Cyndi Lauper in the paper today. Now, she's getting her nails done at an Adelaide bar called the Nail Bar.
Yeah, creatively named.
Not a bar as in a drinking bar, but a go and get your nails sort of touched
up. She posted that on her own Instagram.
Yeah, she did. But she doesn't look overly happy if you look at the picture.
No, maybe she didn't get her true colours.
Maybe she's just unhappy that she's not headlining the concert because Rod Stewart was in charge, but she's certainly not having any fun, is she?
She should be headlining. I can't believe Cyndi Lauper shouldn't be a support act.
She's not as big as Rod Stewart, though.
I think she is.
No way.
Is to me.
Rod Stewart is a much, much, much bigger star.
Name me one Rod Stewart song.
Sailing? Sailing? Yeah. Maggie May? Yeah.
Okay, all right. Took your beat.
Well, I'm just sitting there astounded that you're going to try and roll out that Cyndi Lauper's a bigger name than Rod Stewart.
I would prefer to see Cyndi than Rod.
Would you?
Yeah.
Well, you could see them both if you bothered to go last night. Interesting to see her, though, sitting there. It reminded me of that. Remember that George Lucas pic that he was sitting in the Meyer food court, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And it looked really bizarre. It looked like just a poor, lonely man going, what am I doing? He was having some noodles or something, wasn't he? But we do see some big stars out in the world. Do you know, once I was at the Next Gen gym and I was walking through there
You don't get guns like that by not going to the gym daily, doll.
Righto. I was walking through the gym and I saw little Daniel Radcliffe was on the rower.
Harry Potter
was on the rower and it was amazing. He's only tiny.
Yeah.
He looks like he's a jockey. Anyway, and he's pumping away on the rower and hardly even generating any sort of speed or wind off it because he's so little.
Yeah.
Anyway, I walked past and I went, oh, you're a rower, Harry. And he looked at me like, what is actually wrong with you?
You called him Harry.
Well, he's Harry Potter, isn't he?
He's not Harry Potter, though. He would hate that. He would get that all the time. He's Daniel.
Well, he wasn't doing any wizardry and I thought he's rowing. So, Harry, you're a rower. Anyway, he looked at me a little strange. But quite often you see some of these big stars in the wild. And, I mean, you expect to see them at a nice restaurant or, you know, maybe in a hotel lobby at your EOS or something like that. But you don't expect to see Cyndi Lauper in your nail bar or Daniel Radcliffe on your local rower.
No, it's very true. I laugh at you for saying that, but I have a very embarrassing experience myself. When I was in my clubbing days, maybe 8 or 19, I was at the Royal I saw Phil Rogers, the breaststroker, and it must have just been an Olympics or something.
He'd won a bronze medal at the Olympics.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I reckon it might have been Barcelona 92, maybe.
That would match. I would have been underage. So
Atlanta 96, one of those two.
Anyway, so our eyes meet across the dance floor. I'm like, my God, it's Phil Rogers, the breaststroker. And, of course, he realises what stroke he does. But just in case he didn't, I did the breaststroke, like I simulated breaststroke
on
the
dance
floor to him. And he just shook his head and looked away.
And you gave him a wave.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, my God. See, I've always been a loser my whole life. Nothing's changed.
Cyndi Lauper's in town. She was with Rod Stewart and she was performing the Entertainment Centre. There she is. Spotted in an Adelaide nail bar just getting a little buff and shine.
I wonder what she got. I wonder if she went shellac or SNS. Looking at me very blankly. Do you know what? I love it when celebs get out and about. They could very easily just get bust or chop into their hotel and not get out and about. I like it when we see them in the streets.
All right. Did you see a big name celeb in the wild here in Adelaide? Did you serve them at your work? Belle from Morford Vale, who did you run into?
So I worked at the Hindley Park Royal and the Australian cricket team was staying at my hotel. I was only 19 at the time, so that was 98, I reckon.
Yeah.
And we had all the team staying there. It was like Shane Warne and the War Brothers and Gilchrist and all those, like the big guys.
Yeah.
And anyway, all the wives were sitting in the bar and I'd been looking after them all week. Mm. And some idiot was trying to sit on their table and harassing them.
Right.
So I was saying, can you please leave? And Belinda Gilchrist actually got up. She was pregnant and she was having a red hot crack at this guy.
Right.
So I've calmed her down. Meanwhile, the Australian cricket team have walked in. Gilchrist has seen his pregnant wife yelling at some guy.
Yeah.
So I've had to calm the situation down. Anyway, afterwards, they came back later on and they're like, Belle, you did such a great job. We're going to take you out for dinner. And then they ended up taking me out for dinner. And then we went to Twins and got drunk. It was amazing.
Shoppies with the Australian cricket team. What a story,
wow.
Belle. You can trade on that for the rest of your life.
I saw the Australian cricket team in Joppies very, very often.
Awesome. Nothing good ever happened at Joppies, I can tell you
Not after 2 a.m. Amanda from Smithfield, who did you see in the wild?
Jimmy Bunn.
Oh,
good one.
Yeah, it was great. Him and his entourage were having a concert in Port Augusta, and I used to work in a fish and chip shop, Gil Seapin and Chicken, and they came in there and got some garfish and chips. It was great, yeah.
How was Jimmy? Was he a gentleman?
He was lovely. He was so lovely. He was great.
Beautiful. There we go. Jimmy Barnes on the garfish. Very
and the
nice.
Entourage. How good. Brody in Morfordville, who was your celebrity sighting in Adelaide?
It wasn't me. It was my mum.
Yeah.
We were going to Darwin on actually Christmas Day, and she went into the bathroom and she must have crossed paths with Jessica Mowboy in there, and she came out holding hands and was like, hey, look who I just found. And so I actually got to meet her.
I hope they both wash.
Yeah, we got on the same plane and everything.
Your mum was holding hands with Jessica Mowboy.
Yeah.
Oh, how good is that? There you go. Good on your mum's got a bit of front. All right.
How awkward when you're a big celeb and you have to use a public toilet and you're like having a tinkle and like you know the person next to you knows that's just Mowboy having a wee.
Well,
like,
then Brody's mum comes and holds your hand and drags you out and goes, look who
it's
I found.
A great trip, is it?
Good on you, Brody's mum.
Yeah.
Michelle in Fulham Gardens. Who did you meet?
Believe it or not, it's Mr. Rod Stewart himself. About 10 years ago, I was a fully blown hairdresser doing celebrity hair, and I was doing Penny Lancaster's hair, which at the time I didn't actually know was her, and asked if I could do her husband's hair. He had a concert, so off we went to the Intercontinental, get up there, penthouse, and bloke answers the door in his jocks, and it was Mr. Rod Stewart himself. He had his head connector on, and he was doing a live broadcast for some Scotland soccer team. So while I was foiling his hair, he was in his jocks doing this, and I was looking at the Sydney Harbour. It was great.
Great story.
It was fabulous.
You didn't go see him last night, Michelle?
Sorry? No, I didn't. I actually didn't even know he was here, to be honest.
Hey, Michelle, what were you doing looking at the Sydney Harbour when you were at Intercon in Adelaide?
No, in Intercontinental in Sydney I was working.
Oh,
yes.
Right.
Sorry,
I've
not
gotcha.
Last night. This was about 10 years ago.
Gotcha.
Don't let the facts get
away. Yeah, no. It's good. Obviously, she had me going. I was at the Intercon thinking you're just on North Terrace looking at the Sydney Harbour.
Good work.
Good on you, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle.
Rod Stewart and his jocks.
Oh, no.
This is SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Oh, my gosh. Look at these trending topics.
Oh, dear. Chris Hemsworth
yep.
and his beautiful wife, Elsa Pataky, they've caused some controversy. People have feelings about something that they have done at their son's 9th birthday party. People are always having a opinion on these things. Whenever you read a headline, Parenting Act Sparks Debate, that means the fun police, woo, woo. So basically, they've shared an image of Elsa, the mum, pushing the son's face, smashing it into the chocolate cake. And the caption was like, hey, mum, I don't like chocolate cake. I prefer vanilla. Oh, really, son? What about now? That's right. Funny.
Did they put that caption in themselves?
That was their caption. That was Chris Hemsworth's caption to his however many million followers he's got. I think that's funny. I think that's a family having fun. But no, the internet didn't like it. The internet said that's violent. And what if he ended up with a bloody nose, lip or black eye? She was repeatedly slamming his head into the table. There's a cake in between. Mm. What the hell?
Yeah,
well, people, have we lost our minds?
But that's what you expect when you put something up there. Do you remember Tom Brady, the magnificent quarterback superstar? Remember he kissed his son on the lips who was about 10? Do you remember seeing that picture a couple of years ago?
That.
And then people started going nuts that he's got an inappropriate relationship with his 10-year-old son because he kissed him on the lips.
And I also remember Carrie Bickmore either posting or sharing the fact that she still showered with her son or something and people thought that was creepy. People always have an opinion on your parenting. I would love to be at a birthday party with Chris Hemsworth. I don't care if there's cake or slamming or what there is. I mean, I could play pin the tail on the... I'd love to be at that party.
Right, purely because it's Chris Hemsworth?
No, because the family looks fun, of course, because I'm talking that it's Chris. No, but I like Elsa as well. She looks... She rides horses. She's, like, organic and spiritual, and she slams her kid's face into... chocolate cake.
Right.
Fun.
Sort of people you'd like to hang around with?
Yes. I mean, they live in Byron Bay.
Okay.
I like Byron Bay.
Right. So essentially you want to hang around with famous actors that have got a lot of money that live in a really nice part of the world.
It's not really his fame. It's more his guns.
You're listening to SAFM's Beck and Soda.
We want you to get your hands all over our buns, and it's for a good cause. We are selling Balfour's Hot Cross Buns at Romeo's Foodlands, and it's to raise money for the wonderful Kickstart for Kids, which feeds hungry kids in South Australia every single morning.
It is an amazing charity. 60,000 plus breakfasts delivered to kids at risk every week here in South Australia. The man who founded this, Ian Steele, is with us. Steele-o, how are you, my friend?
Good, thanks, guys.
Did you have some of our moist buns for breakfast?
Yes, I did. Too many of them. Put on a couple of kilos.
Steele-o, we're very excited because they're wonderful people here in South Australia and Adelaide particularly are getting out there and buying these buns so we can get you this van that you need to get these deliveries done, which is terrific.
Yeah, that's right. So we're using a really old van at the moment.
Mm.
And even this morning when I was loading it, it's got to go all the way to Port Augusta and Port Pirie today. And the guys take off at about 5 o'clock in the morning. And one of the lights had stopped working. So, we had to take it off the road. And only then a couple of weeks ago, we had to change some tyres. So it's really, really old. And we're really desperate for this new van to get around to feed all the kids.
All right, we are doing our very best for you. And Ian Steele, you would think with all the work that you've done with Kickstart for Kids over the years, you would have so many karma points banked that you don't deserve to have anything bad. Your life should just be sunshine, rainbows and lollipops as far as I'm concerned. So when I heard through Soda's podcast what has recently happened to your family and your son Seb, I was absolutely shocked about what you've been through.
Still, life doesn't always work out the way where you think all this good karma should help you, does it?
No, that's right. And my wife, Georgie's often said to me that we help so many people out there. How could something like this happen to us?
Well, next, you're going to reveal what's actually happened. And this is a remarkable story. The vulnerability and the courage that you use to share this and the lessons we can learn from it are mind-blowing. You do not want to miss this.
SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Ian Steele from Kickstart for Kids is with us. We are raising money by selling our hot cross buns at Romeo's Foodlands. They're the Balfour's buns. They are beautiful.
We love Ian Steele and we love his family, and the whole family volunteers and pitches in. So about 18 months ago when the new warehouse was opening near the airport, I saw you and I saw your son, Seb, in a wheelchair, and I couldn't believe what had happened to you and your family.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. So Seb, at our family business, one horrific morning 18 months ago, was involved in an industrial accident where he was run over by a forklift and eventually he had his leg amputated.
Ian, this is unbelievable. You're a father. This is your business. You are there watching this happen to your son. And amazingly and courageously, you shared this story on a podcast recently. You actually had to save his life multiple times while you're waiting for the ambulance.
Yeah, that's right. Seb died and I had to resuscitate him a couple of times. And it's just been a horrific experience. And it was great talking on the podcast and being able to cleanse myself, I guess, and put the horrific experience, well, I'm not going to say behind us because we couldn't put it behind us, but there's so many other layers to the story of not just Seb losing his leg. So there's, you know, there's the opioid addiction, there's the marijuana addiction, there's the just the horrific pain that never goes away. Only last week Seb spent 2 days in hospital again. So it was just a horrific time for our family. It really was.
Mm, but you also talk about the challenges to your mental health. And I think of you as one of the strongest people I know. I can't imagine that things got so dark for you as well.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I was right there. And it was at my business. And, you know, you have these what ifs, I guess, when these things. And for me, it was what if, you know, if I'd made a different decision, we wouldn't be in this situation. Sliding doors moment. And yeah, it really affected me for, you know, 12 months, you know, I think I said, and I'm quite happy to say it, every day I felt like killing myself. I knew how I was going to do it. I didn't do it obviously because my family needed me and I needed them. But it was, I just couldn't get myself out of that hole. I couldn't speak to my mates. You know, they were reaching out to me and I just could not talk to them about it because there was nothing they could do to change the situation that I was in. I realise now that that was wrong.
But it was probably shock as well, because I can't imagine you resuscitated your son who was bleeding on the floor. Like that's not an easy thing to get past.
No, that's right. So there's a lot of PTSD that Seb has and I have had, and I spoke about it with Soda that, you know, there was a person down at Horseshoe Bay at Christmas time where she thought she'd lost her son for about half an hour, and she was just screaming, and I knew she was screaming because it was completely out, the situation was out of her control, and that's how I felt during that whole situation.
Still, it's essentially 18 months of hell that not just you and Seb, but your entire family go through. The story blows my mind, but the fact that we've got to some sort of silver lining, I think, is so wonderful.
Yep, that's right. So, you know, Seb's taken up kayaking and he's, you know, he's hopefully going to make the Paralympics. And he can speak really well about the accident. He's hoping to go into some sort of inspiration speaking, if you like, going and talking to kids at school about his experiences and where he came from and where he's turned up, I guess, or turned out.
Many people struggle for a whole range of reasons, and for someone that's been through it, and you've watched for the past decade kids struggling through Kickstart for Kids that you've helped, what have you learnt during all this time and your family stuff that you would pass on to people that are doing life bloody tough?
Well, you've just got to talk, I guess, and share your experiences with people. So it's hard, particularly for males, but even females, look, and for kids particularly, it's hard to talk about the things that are worrying them and to share those things with other people, because it helps to talk, right? And what I realized was, even though the person you're talking to can't change the situation you're in, you can actually lean on them, and it makes you feel better to share that experience with somebody.
Still, Beck mentioned she thinks you're one of the strongest people. Well, I look at you as the Man of Steel, Ian Steele, like Superman, because you have done so much for so many others. And what you've navigated through along with Seb and the rest of your family the last 18 months, mate, I am just in awe of who you are and what you do. You are an A-grade person. You're from the very top shelf of society. Mate, we love you, and we take our hat off to everything you do for everyone. We wish nothing but love and care for you and your family going forward.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, my God. Now, if that did trigger anything in you, of course, Lifeline is 13 11 14. Thanks to Ian for sharing that.
Amazing courage, Stilo. If you'd like to listen to the full podcast, it's the Soda Room podcast, where you can find them and check out Listener App as well. And it is an opportunity for you to hear a story that is just unbelievable. And Stilo, like I said, we are just in awe of you, mate.
We love you.
This is SAFM's Beck and Soda. Beck and Soda have the buns you need.
Cause your Easter won't be Easter without Beck and Soda's hot cross buns.
Travis Boak here from the Port Adelaide Football Club.
Kate Freeburn from 10 News First.
I'm Rosanna Mangiarelli.
And I'm Will Goodings from 7 News.
This is Carrie Bickmore.
This is Thomas Little.
This is Abby Chatfield.
It's Cam Dabbo here.
This is Hughesy.
This is Brody Smith from the Adelaide Football Club.
This is Larry Emder.
This is Conrad Saul.
This is Jolyon Pitch, and I've got my hands on Beck and Soda's buns.
Rightio, we are talking about getting your hands on Beck and Soda's buns. A whole bunch of Bun Bassett is there. Someone called Jolly Petch.
No,
who's Jolly Petch?
Jolly Petch. He remixed, I don't even know some of those people are. Fleetwood Mac. Mm. You do.
I do not. I do not know who a bunch of those people are, but we are adding to them. This could be the worst marketing campaign in the history of marketing. Random people you don't know who've got their hands in their buns. This person you names. Will know. Have a listen.
G'day, this is Will Anderson, and I've got my hands on Beck and Soda's buns.
Hey. Thank you, Will. Hey, that's a big name.
Yes.
He's a big, big deal, isn't he?
Yes, he's a huge deal.
Yeah, he's not Jolly and Petch, that duo.
Oh, my gosh. Jolly right? and Petch will never do anything with us ever again.
They won't even know they did this. How would they even know? They weren't even listening who Jolly Petch is. Right.
Jolly
so
Petch.
We have got Will Anderson. That's great. Get your hands on our buns and help raise some money for the Kickstart from Kids so we can buy this van to deliver these 60,000-plus breakfasts every week in South Australia. Now, I've got another special surprise on top of Will Anderson. Are you ready, Beck?
Oh, I'm excited.
I'm winding back the clock from when you were a young girl, okay? Ooh,
so you're going and back to the early 2000s.
Here we go.
Hey, this is Agra. I got my hands on Beck and Soda's buns. I like big buns and I cannot lie. You other fellas can't deny. When Beck walks in with a itty-bitty grin, her buns!
Agro.
Agro. Okay, that's a big name.
That's
our
big
biggest,
deal.
Surely.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
You're happy with that.
We're adding to them. All right. Can we actually find a real... I mean, Agro is a legitimate star.
Yeah.
Right. He really was at some point.
Yeah.
We've got to go Hollywood.
Yeah.
Can we actually find someone decent? Yeah. Oh, not that any of the others aren't decent. Thank you, everyone, for getting on board. But I mean, you know where we're coming
peddling.
From. Hey?
They're all getting behind our cause.
Yes, they are. They're doing wonderful things. But, God, can we find
be
someone
kind.
Big?
Like,
no,
someone
a reminder.
Big.
We need you to be a bumbassador as well. Head into a Romeo's Foodland, family-owned, community-minded. Buy your buns, proceeds to Kickstart for Kids. And just for buying your buns, you go on the running to win an awesome prize.
Yeah, $250 voucher to fill up your grocery trolley at Romeo's Foodland, so make sure you take a snap with you and your buns. But thank you, everyone, for your wonderful generosity in buying them. They're beautiful. They're Belfers. They're moist. They're fluffy. They're delicious.
Yep.
And you can have fruit or no fruit.
Yep. All right.
Don't say moist.
You're listening to SAFM's Beck and Soda.
Close to 500,000 Australians aged 25 to 34 are still living at home with their parents.
34 is old. I mean, imagine picking up a 34-year-old from the club and going home and realising they lived with mum and dad. That'd be a little bit of a mood killer.
It's pretty amazing though, isn't it?
Shh, don't wake mum up.
Well, that's a good point. You left home at 22.
Yeah, what about you?
Ever sneak a bloke into the house when you were sort of in your teens or early 20s?
Didn't sneak in. I used to sneak out.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you used to do the old like Alcatraz special and put the pillow in the bed and then put a little fake head in there?
This came out in my 21st and mum was mortified. I'd come in the curfew, I'd come in the front door, say, hi, mum and dad, I'm home, and then I'd walk straight out the back door and go out again.
Oh, really? Is that right?
Yes. And yeah, and that came out in my 21st and my mum was so disappointed in me.
Who were the lucky guys around that time?
Guys,
there well, you were clearly sneaking out.
There was just the one at that time,
right?
But this is not about me for once.
I very quickly turned to it. Isn't it quite interesting though? There are so many people, and obviously because of the cost of living at the moment and trying to buy a house, it's so tough and can be such a challenge that people are at that age. But at some point, when do you cut the umbilical cord and go, look, it's time to pop out? And there's a little story in the paper here, and there's a guy here. Looks Elliot. How old's Elliot?
Elliot Fannin is 23.
23, he's at home with mum and dad, and he's now working as a lawyer, and he said that he's, you know, banking most of his pay so that he can buy a house at some point and finally flee the nest. But I don't think he looks like he's in any hurry. Look at that picture. He's not going anywhere.
He looks secure with mum.
He's staying there, isn't he? She's got the hand on the shoulder, and he's standing there like, yep, I'm a lawyer now. And she's going, I'm so proud of my son. There's no way known I'm letting him leave the house.
23, I'll allow. I'll allow 23. I think once you get into 25... I mean, Grace is 20 next month, and I'm happy to have her for a couple more years if she pulls her weight.
Right.
I saw some dishes in the sink that were hers this morning.
She's at uni?
She's at uni. I feel like while you're studying at uni, it's okay to be.
Is she working part-time?
She's working part-time at Boost.
All right, and what's she contributing to the family?
Very little.
Oh, really? What about chores?
She is supposed to cook and clean once a week, and that's very, very sketchy whether that happens. And we have her boyfriend around every night eating us out of house and home as well.
Oh, and what's he contributing?
his sparkling personality.
Wow, that's fantastic. So 25 to 34, like 500,000 Australians, that's a lot of adults at home with mum and dad.
Yeah, and I do feel for them because the housing market is really hard to get into. So I understand that it helps to save a deposit.
13 10 60. If you're up early, I want to know who's still at home, or if you've got someone at home you'd really like to kick out. They're probably asleep now because they'd be up and about living their life if they were out and
they're
about.
They're probably coming home from the club.
Possibly. Can we find out who is listening this morning? Who is the oldest person still living at home? Are you sort of 23, 24 plus, or have you got one of those just loafing around the house? You going to find out?
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Give us a buzz. 13, 10, 60. Oldest person still living at home.
Stats in the paper today that close to 500,000 Aussies aged between the age of 25 and 34 are still living at home with mumsy and dads.
It's a challenge, no doubt, because financially it can be huge, but also too, you need to sometimes cut that umbilical cord and get a bit of, well, independence, don't you?
Yeah, you do. You need to fend for yourself at some point.
We're trying to find out who's still at home here in Adelaide and listening in. Hayley from McLaren Flat, good morning to you, Hayley. Tell us your situation.
Hi. So I still live at home with my mum and my stepdad. I'm trying to save to buy my own house.
Yep.
It seems like it's going to maybe be another at least 18 months till I can actually be able to afford it. With, as you guys said, the housing rates and all that, they're all ridiculous. So I'm still living there at the moment. I do work.
How old are you, Hayley?
I'm 27, almost 27.
Right.
Yeah.
What's it like, Hayley, being at home at 26?
It's all right. It has its challenges, but I work night shift as well, so it can sometimes be a bit up and down with obviously them being up during the day and me trying to be asleep, but we manage.
Yep.
I have a cat as well, so I have to look after her as well. So,
they making you pay rent, Hayley?
They do. Yes.
Right. What do they sting you, Hayley? If you're happy to tell us,
$80 a week.
Okay. And what about you? Have to contribute around the house and buy your own food, or they cover that in your rent?
So no, I buy my own food.
Grace, I hope you're listening. Yep. Okay.
Yeah. So basically the $80 covers my water and electricity, and the gas.
Oh,
and that's basically it.
Wow. Okay.
I pay for anything else that obviously I need to pay for. So food. My own bills.
Right, okay. Gosh, I think your parents have got a sweet deal there, Hayley. Well, good luck getting into the housing market.
It'd be tough, can't it?
Yeah, I understand.
I think we might need to go in and negotiate a better deal for Hayley.
How expensive the New York stats coming out yesterday showed to get into the housing market.
Living in Adelaide.
Yeah, right.
It's a challenge. Well, if you're out there, look, good luck. Keep working hard.
SAFM's Beck and Soda, a new way to wake up. Get SAFM's Beck and Soda anywhere, anytime on the free listener app, SAFM.